Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. We are here today and we are thankful for all the people that are joining us in the audience. Thank you. Thank you for showing up today. We're thankful. Thankful. Very thankful. Yes, all kinds of new tools. So thank you. Thank you for showing up. This makes me happy.
Yeah. It was exciting.
Today, we just want to have a conversation here. Actually, I think I'm going to start again because we're going to get a real intro here. I'm not sure how I would edit all that out, to tell you the truth. Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. I'm your host, Eric Heimlich, here today with Kaylin Heimlich, my co-host in the studio. And today is Saturday. We're recording this just right after Thanksgiving. And it's a beautiful day out there.
It is.
And you are getting ready head out to do a ton of schoolwork. Mm-hmm. So what is it like to try to balance the work of teaching and the work of college life? What is that like for you right now?
Well, I've had so much time to prepare for this question that I'm going to just let it sit in the air for a moment and let our listeners absorb it. Currently, I teach second grade 2 days a week and high school 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. I think we have discussed this at some point. And that in and of itself is a lovely occupation.
Yes, it is.
I highly recommend for anyone that is thinking about, you know, I could finish my degree from home online. It'd be great. Get some work in, finish some classes. Just don't.
Don't do that.
Finish your degree. Get that done.
Then go to
out of the way and then begin work. Yes. I think this learning that I am getting is some of the best that I've gotten. I'm learning every single day. Most of it the hard way. Not most of it the hard way. A lot of it is very good. But I'm having to fit in school around that. And that's not... I love school. I loved the classes. I loved the things I was getting to learn. And I still... I do. When I get to be completely in the zone, I love doing that as well. Doing that still. But at this point, it is all a juggling match where I throw it up in the air and it comes back to me in a week. And that's wonderful. I have some really great teachers that are really, really accommodating and super helpful and very, very, they're very, very good classes. Right now I'm taking a class on writing and I'm taking a class on teaching reading. And those classes together have been a really wonderful, especially for my second grade classroom. It's been a super amazing.
Because you're getting to do what you're learning about.
Right.
So seeing that
it's a resource to, yes.
Yeah.
To go back to and ask questions in and all of that. So it's very good, but it's a little bit exhausting.
It's a lot. Yeah. I mean, because you work all day and then many times come home, grab a bite of supper, and then you're off for the evening to try to cram in as much study as you can and keep up with that. And then on the weekends, like today, you know, you're off early in the morning to try to beat the deadlines and get it all in. And next week, go back from Thanksgiving break and do it all again. So, yeah, that's a lot. And you're doing an amazing job juggling all that.
I don't know that I'm doing that. But I didn't think it was a lot for a long time. And I wonder if this is a problem that's just mine or others as well. Especially the first few weeks, I was really confused as to why I was so tired all the time. Mm. I was very, sometimes frustrated with myself. Just like, this is not any more than, like, why is this difficult? Because in actuality, there's a lot of the day, especially when I'm taking care of like second graders, where I'm not doing any mental work. Mm. But something that I found specifically in teaching, and I think this is probably the case with other activities, if especially if you are hopping back and forth between tasks, if you have to keep a lot of things on the working table of your brain, so to speak, on a consistent basis, that is incredible mental energy that you're expending. And so even if you're not like physically laboring over something, like if you're a mom and you're having to juggle the 500 things that it takes, like, it's okay to be tired, which I know there are people saying that, and that's, like, it's an important thing to understand. Like, my brain was doing a lot, even though my body wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so it was, like, I didn't have to be upset at myself for being tired, because I am doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
That realization and that, like, admitting that to myself helped a lot to be like, okay, I'm gonna, like, this doesn't give me an excuse to stop. I still have made these commitments that I'm going to push through, but I now have some realization and I don't have to be frustrated or angry with myself. Like, this is the next step. I understand where I'm going. I understand why I am feeling the way I'm feeling. Now, how do I handle that in a way that is healthy and holistic and all of the above?
Yeah. And I think we make choices in life. You know, much of my adult working life, I've juggled things.
Right.
I'm always starting something new and in the process of growing something bigger. And many times, you know, I've got 4 or 5 boxes that I'm working in at a time. And you've watched that process of...
Which is one of the reasons I was like, well, why can't I do 2? This doesn't make sense. He's done 5 all my life.
Yeah. Well, not all your life. But I think there is this this trend that I see in my life, and that is that my tree grows, and then the branches have to be lopped off.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a pruning process. And that's what happened back a few years ago when we moved here to Victory Acres.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then again, after Mama began to have seizures. And then happened again this year. And there was a certain sense of just relief and overwhelming, just like, wow, this huge burden that's just been lifted off of me. And then that was followed by fresh vision and wow, I've got room. I've got space now. Now here are things. And right. So new branches begin to grow.
Let's grow some new bubbles here.
And so, yeah, we'll have to revise that process again, probably. But that's not a bad thing.
Right.
And recognizing that and that stress in itself is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that think that, you know, they should live a stress-free life. Well, where no oxen are, the crib is clean.
Mm-hmm.
But much increases by the strength of the ox. You know, if you want a nice, easy, stress-free life, don't do anything. But if you're going to do anything of value, there's going to be stress involved.
Right.
And in order to get there, it's going to take a little bit of pain. Whether that's, you know, you're trying to lift weights and increase muscle mass, or whether that's, you know, you're trying to get a degree.
Mm-hmm.
There's challenges in that. So learning how to balance that, learning how to do that in a way that's healthy, helpful, productive, and making sure that you're keeping track of who you are in the middle of it and why you're doing it.
Right. Yeah. So I recently found a journal entry I had written at the beginning of the school year. It was talking about me being the person that I want to be. And I had been either reading or writing about the idea of leaning back into your rhythm.
Yeah.
Mr. Ryder, there was a song last year during the Singing Christmas Tree that we would always go faster on. It was just one that was very fun and very quick. And he kept telling us that we needed to lean back into the rhythm, that we didn't need to go as fast. He was keeping us on time, but we needed to lean back into the rhythm rather than letting the rhythm drive us. Anyways, and I remember, and I think this is when I wrote that, the idea of leaning back into your rhythm, that you have to figure out, like, okay, what is God asking me to do? What are the things that God wants me to do?
Yeah.
And then rather than letting those drive us, lean back into them and make them work for us, make them be the horses that drive our little carriage around. And so I had written a list of habits that I wanted to implement in my life.
Yeah.
That would remind me who I am and why I do what I do. And it, I was looking at the list and got a little sad. Not really. I have begun all of the things on that list.
Good.
I am not where I wanted to be.
Right.
And there are several of the things that I have stopped doing as well. So I started them and then I stopped them.
yeah.
But going back over that was also very helpful, just to remind me, this is where I'm going. This is who I am. And I think those habits are what help you lean back into your rhythm. Don't let the activities of your life drive you into becoming like, I have to get all of this done. And anyways.
Yeah. We're human beings, not human doings.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that, I know I have my goals for the year posted, and many of my goals are really more about health and development of who I am mm-hmm. than they are about, I want to see this, you know, great building built, or this monumental task accomplished this year. So, for instance, grow my capacity for leadership by investing in 3 key mentor relationships and meeting at least 4 times per year. Again, it's important. Mm-hmm. It's not urgent.
Right.
Those are the things that over time, if I do them, I know will help me to develop as a person, mm-hmm. improve my health and have more energy by exercising 4 times a week, eating more fish, fruits, and vegetables, and eliminating carbs. You know, those are the things that if they're done consistently on an ongoing basis, like it talks about in Atomic Habits, mm-hmm. you know, those incremental changes
right.
that are implemented and continued over a long period of time are going to make the big difference. And those are hard to sustain early on, especially. Mm-hmm. And life happens. You know, right. everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the face, mm-hmm. as Mike Tyson famously said. And so life comes against all those things. Mm-hmm. But continuing to push into mm-hmm. what are the things that in my sane moments, I think, you know, I really want to do this. Mm-hmm. I really do. I don't want to just veg out on mm-hmm. Instagram. I don't want to just continue to do whatever I feel like doing. I really want to be this person, and having a clear picture of that, mm-hmm. but then right. doing that, you know, I was just writing this morning in my journal, making myself to do what I need and even want to do is harder than it looks or sounds. Mm. I want to draw closer to God. I really do. But on a frosty morning like today, I don't want to come to a cold prayer chapel. My flesh rebels, yet here I am again. Mm. You know, that I don't want to do this, and yet I do want to do this.
Right.
Is what living really consists of, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the things that we do want to do, and in the long run, we know are going to take us the places we want to go. And yet, in the short run, it's easier to go to the buy here, pay here place mm-hmm. and just get the car and not think about how much it's going to really cost me, rather than taking $100 out of each paycheck and putting it aside
and waiting until
I have enough to be able to buy it with cash. I mean, that's the pain and pleasure principle. I remember a few years ago hearing, I think it was Robbie Zacharias that talked about how that illicit pleasures are where we get the pleasure first and we pay for with the pain later. Hmm. Whereas godly pleasures, they're the pain first, and then there's the pleasure. Mm-hmm. We do the work, and then we're rewarded. Mm-hmm. Whereas illicit pleasure, it's like, here, enjoy this, and then pay for it later. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a important principle to remember.
Right. Yeah.
So what are you working on today?
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, like deer in the headlights there. What am I working on today? I don't know.
Okay, what am I working on today? I have to make a concept map. That's what I have to make.
A concept map.
A concept map of literature and reading and writing and 3 ideas related to each of those. And how am I going to connect all of those ideas?
Wow.
I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
I won't until I have to like actually put pen to paper.
Well,
also this assignment is a week late.
It's a week late. Okay. Well, I am sure you're going to come up with something fantastic.
It will be wonderful.
It will.
This is one of the other things that I've realized about school, which I hate, because all through my homeschool and then some of my high school career, I loved understanding everything that I did. Mm. Like, algebra was wonderful for me, was fun for me, and I'm sorry, I know I've lost about 30% of you, 70% of you, but I loved it because I had a teacher that was willing to take me one step at a time through it, and I was able to understand the basics, like the foundations and the building blocks, and then it became my Rubik's Cube. Like, it was...
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Order of operations and...
Right.
And
you follow the rules. And so the rest of it, I really enjoyed because I understood the basics and I was able to launch off of that. But I also was able to go at my own pace, one at a time, understanding as I went. I really loved that.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I really, really hate about some of the classes that you have to take in college. And it's not that they don't need to be this way. They do need to be this way. But it's about hoops. You have to jump through them.
You got to jump the hoops.
And it's important that as a student, I understand I'm not just doing this so that I can jump through their hoops and get a piece of paper at the end of my degree. Like, the point of going to college is that I am learning.
Right.
So learn, but also jump through hoops and learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time when I was at classes, when I was in a physical class, I committed to learn one thing during the class. Mm. So it didn't matter how boring the professor was. Not that there's any boring professors. All of them are amazing.
Since some of them may be listening.
But it was about me making sure that I chose to learn. And it might not have anything to do with content. It might just be, said this and did this at the same time, and that really affected the class environment.
Yeah.
I am going to do that, or I'm not going to do that, either way.
Yeah.
Anyways, so learning one thing, that's been something that's been a helpful...
Yeah, that's good.
...commitment to myself. But also, it really frustrated me when I started online classes because I was not being able to learn everything that they were trying to give me, and realizing like the teacher is giving me specific things and the exercises that they're giving me are intentional, but some of them you're just going to have to finish. So finish them. Don't spend 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Put it in a box.
Anyways.
And just complete the task. Check the box.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, that's the frustrating thing about the educational experience, you know, as Mark Twain famously said, I never let my schooling get in the way of my education. You know, education is meant to be holistic in nature.
Right.
And so you're thinking about how this connects to that and how all these different things interact. And yet schooling by its very nature requires you to have a path and stick to it.
Right. Yes.
Not everybody can follow rabbit trails wherever those happen to lead.
Right.
And as interesting as those may be and actually get anything done. But it is those rabbit trails and that curiosity and that sense of wonder that especially as young people, children are young, we need to be cultivating so that they do have that, I wonder why this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. And that rabbit trail may lead to something absolutely, completely, and totally brand new that somebody has never thought of before, which is that process where we are learning, but we're also creating in the process of that. And so, you know, the challenge is that many times, rather than, and this is not always true, this is a very broad brush, but many times teachers end up teaching because they're not practitioners. And so they're not in the field, they're teaching it. You know, it's the old adage, those who can't teach. And so the people who can't...
Speaking to a teacher.
I know, speaking to a teacher. But the challenge is, how do we maintain a practitioner mindset? Whatever it is you're teaching.
Right. How are they going to take this and use it in the real world?
Yeah. And so if you're not in the real world and you're not doing it regularly, you're just teaching it, there's a disconnect mm-hmm. there that develops. And so the whole educational model, the whole academy itself is made up of these people many times who have made a career getting to a place to teach a field that they're, you know, very proficient in, but it's a silo for them. So, you know, are the folks that are medical professionals
right.
talking to the agricultural people? If we are what we eat, agriculture affects mm-hmm. health right. and wellness. And yet these are two completely different disciplines mm-hmm. and they're not talking to each other. The people who are in agriculture and farming and, mm-hmm. and all that aren't talking to the medical professionals. At least they haven't been. I think there's more of that
that's right. beginning and to develop. And that's a need that, as far as I understand, the academic world is beginning to understand.
Yes.
Like more cross-disciplinary. Yeah. Yes. And recognizing that we don't learn in silos.
No.
From what I understand, Gen Z, this most recent, is the best compartmentalizers. Mm. And there's like research that has been done about this. Their ability to section off their lives, and they don't see connections in between things. So what they learn at school isn't supposed to come home. Mm. And what's happening at home isn't supposed to go to church if they go to church.
Interesting.
All of those things, like they have these boxes and it's not supposed to get out of the box, which, I mean, education has been kind of training us for this. And if a teacher is intentional, they recognize the fact, especially in your elementary educations, they recognize the fact like everything needs to be connected. The child needs to recognize that your science is connected to your math.
Yes.
Your math is connected to your, all of the history throughout the ages. There's tons of math in history. There's tons of history in math. Anyways, connections yeah. all over the place.
Well, and I think that's a particularly important in the early stages of education and development. Like, I understand there's a need for specialization at some point. Like, at some point, we've got to begin to say, okay, I'm going to drill down into this area, and this is what I'm going to be good at. We can't all be good at everything. We can't all just be jack of all trades, although that does sound kind of fun. But we can't, but early on especially, there has to be that sense of wonder and interconnectedness to me in order to be able to understand that the world is this, it's this patchwork quilt of local places.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that there are all these things that fit together in a way that is far beyond our ability to even comprehend or understand.
Mm.
And that sense of wonder and not just, well, yes, we've gotten everything figured out. We know it all.
Right.
When the fact of it is that every cubic inch of soil has things going on in it that we don't even completely understand
right.
at a microbial level and at an astronomy level. There are billions and billions of galaxies that are so far beyond what we have explored or understood yet that, you know, we're still learning. We're learning at every level.
Right.
And whether it's the depths of the ocean, the cubic inch of soil, or whether it's outer space, there is so much to be explored and so much that we need to be approaching with wonder and a sense of mystery. While we are exploring it, that we're recognizing that we don't have all the answers.
Right. This contrast between the modern and the postmodern, continuing to move forward, recognizing that science is not a waste of time. And yet, like, yes, I think one of the dangers of being a teacher and recognizing that I can, in my perfectly crafted lesson plans, think that I am teaching to the end result of the child knowing.
Mm.
And I realized recently, this is something even I have fallen into. I don't have wonder about certain passages of scripture because I've learned them. Why would I need to go back over them?
Mm.
Like, I've already read that one. Why would I need that again? I know the Christmas story. I have that memorized. And you don't realize, especially in scripture, you don't realize the incredible need to dig in again, because we can get to this point where the idea is that you know enough to know that you don't know. Mm. But we get just below that, where we're like, okay, I like that. That I have all the information on science that I need for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know anything else. And that leaves us without question marks.
Yeah.
And so there's areas in my life, which I think kind of that happens naturally with some children. Like once they know how to read, they're like, I'm not interested in this. No, not really. I think.
Hope not.
Once they learn up through algebra, they say, all right, I know it. I'm done. They might not be interested in your pre-algebra and the history of physics.
Yeah.
They might not be interested in moving on in that area. And yet, we've done that with a lot of areas. I don't see the need to continue my education in the realm of science because I don't have any question marks.
Mm.
I'm like, I know. And if any question that anybody has asked me, I know that question. So I'm going to be fine. Literature, on the other hand, I'm asked questions every single day that I'm like, oh, I wonder about that. Even if it's just my own brain asking me the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I've experienced it more. I've experienced it in an open-ended way rather than a closed, like, here's the lesson, finish the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be careful because I know there's balance. And especially with littles, like, you have to teach them to read. That is
right.
A block by block. You build it. It's not something that you can just kind of like pour into a child.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, now you know how to read. Keep doing it. You have to do it one step at a time. And you need, especially when they're little, they're sponges. So give them the pieces of information. But then when they get to where they are beginning to think about things, let them ask the questions and don't just give them answers. Give them places to find the answers or places to go to look for answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
No, I think that's great. And I think that, you know, learning is a lifelong endeavor.
Right.
And recognizing that and cultivating that thirst for learning is the best thing that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
If we can help young people keep the wonder, they will find the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And they will find the answers that will get them where they need to be going. The things that they're interested in, that's what they're going to pursue. That's what they're going to grow
mm-hmm.
in and develop. But if we reduce it, and that's really what you were talking about, that reductionism, that, you know, let's just boil it all down to the least common denominator, and I have no more questions. I'm finished with that. I've checked the box. I've learned everything that there is to know about science, and so now I can
right.
Mosey out into the world with no wonder at all.
Right. I have completed biology.
Yes. So therefore, I now am knowledgeable in biology, when the reality is there is so much
right.
in any discipline, in any area, that you could spend a lifetime, you could spend 1,000 lifetimes and never exhaust it
mm-hmm.
because God has put so much into this world
mm-hmm.
and there is so much learning that could be done. So I am excited about continuing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm continuing to learn as well. I just started an S Corp yesterday.
Ah.
And so waded into that. And that's something I'll talk more about later. But there's some exciting things
mm-hmm.
on the horizon that I am energized by. And new things. For me, a good day is when I learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've gotten to do something I've never done before. I just, man, there's just such a sense of fulfillment in that for me. And so I'm excited about that and look forward to seeing where the journey leads. Well, you've got to head off to school
mm-hmm.
and learn some more things. So
yay.
I'm going to let you go. But thanks so much for taking time.
Thank you. It's been good.
For Gleaning and Gathering. God bless.